Okay, girls. We're all about time. This is the only thing I try to do timely. Okay, but I'm trying hard on this. All right. Welcome, everybody, this morning. You know, we're past the halfway mark in our study, so we are we're going to really need to pay attention to what we learn for the next weeks. And we are going to meet, not going to meet next week. Spring break week, you know, it doesn't affect everybody, but it affects enough of us that we didn't want our attendance to be all by a lot. So we're going to skip a week, and that'll be the first week we skip. So let's all be sure and be back here on 2 weeks from today. Who will teach 2 weeks from today? Jean will teach 2 weeks from today. Okay, y'all know we're ready for more storms tonight. We go from storm to storm to storm, but that's just the way it is in the spring. And when you're from the south, and we have been so blessed that we have missed the terrible things. We've heard so many stories, I know y'all have, on TV about the parents and the people who have tried to save these children, and ooh, it's really been something. But anyway, we are, again, we're going to have our lesson today, then we're going to skip next week, and we'll be back here 2 weeks from today. So, let's open with prayer, and we'll get started and go to our small groups after our Bible lesson. Father in heaven, again we thank you for the change of season, and we ask that you watch over us tonight in the storms, and that that you just give us safety if it be your will. And Lord, we do pray for all those that have suffered loss of home and family and friends, and pray that you would comfort them. And I thank you for all those people that are reaching out to them and that are helping to try to restructure their lives. And Lord, may I pray that they would all come to a closer relationship with you. We've heard so many stories on TV and in the paper, and Father, almost always they do cling to you, and we thank you for this and for the example they're showing before the world. So, Father, we pray for our political situation. May your will be done there. For our storm situation that's upcoming, would you watch over that? Father, I also pray for Sylvia this weekend and her family as they enjoy the celebration of a marriage. And I just thank you for Sylvia's recovery and for her ability to go to this wedding. And because just 4 months ago, 5 months ago, Father, things looked so frightening. So, Father, we just thank you that you have given her this gift, and that she will be there, and that she will be able to walk down that aisle along with the rest of her family. Thank you for this, Jesus. Now we pray for our next hour that we're going to spend together. I pray that you would just reach out and quieten our minds and touch our hearts and make us ready to hear and to learn what you would have us hear and learn, and may we take it forward in our life and use it. I pray that you would watch over us, keep us safe. I pray for the ones that are not here today, and I pray that they would be back with us 2 weeks from today. Bring us all into your house on Sunday morning, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good, I hope. That sounds good to me. Okay, while she's writing up here, now, going back to Sylvia, if anybody knows of, in anybody's yard, any flowers, like, I would love to have some late-blooming daffodils, if you know. I know Virginia Boyd's got some, but I hadn't checked them out yet, but I know they're there, but because I'm helping Sylvia with her rehearsal dinner.
Reverend Marjorie Lane,
I don't know. I'll ride down there and see.
And then you ride in her, that street behind her is there back there.
Yeah.
I've got plenty of fire
in. Okay. It sheds, so, but if I need, is yours to the shedding point?
Not yet. We have okay. I've got some little bitty ones.
Okay. Little bitty. I don't know. I'm just doing little vases.
My vase is starting to
Yeah, I've seen them. I need the yours are the little azaleas. Okay, that's what I need.
Mm-hmm. They have nice stems.
My neighbor, Chris Potts, I spotted hers, too. All right, here we go. We're in James 3, and I'm gonna take verse 1 there, although that's not going to be really part of my lesson, but Angie covered this last week, but I'm just going to just stick my 2 cents worth in there. Of course, this lesson is about the tongue, and we all ought to be shaking in our boots and examining everything that we say even before we say it. But the first verse is about teaching. Not many of you should become teachers. And somebody give me a sign when I've got about 3 or 4 minutes. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And I had a verse to read about that, 2 Timothy 4:2-5. And this is Paul's charge to Timothy as he goes out and preaches. He says, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Does that not apply to what's going on now, big time? They will turn, and these people running for these political offices, they say something one day, and then in a week or two, lo and behold, they change their... They're saying what they think people want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. So examine everything. I'm not talking about just political, but I'm talking about in everything. That is so important. And you may not be a teacher, but you are a teacher. If you're not a teacher up here or in the pulpit or something, you are a teacher in your home and with the people that you're around all the time. Your influence is great, whether you know it or not, it is. And so, preach the word. Keep your head in all situations. And as I was working up this lesson today, I really didn't realize it until last night, that about half my lesson is scripture, maybe more than, which is good. When you're talking about the tongue, you need to make sure, you got to have something concrete to go back to and examine what you say. And like I said a while ago, before you say it, think, how is this going to affect the person I'm saying it to? Okay, Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. There's a lot of meat in this verse, so that it may benefit those who listen. Words build or destroy. I tried to look back to see exactly. I had about 3 sources, and I could not find exactly where I don't know whether that came from Jack Scott or another little James book I had, or our book, Words Build or Destroy. Think about that. Let's see, I have another couple of verses. Our words give clues as to our state of soul. Where are my other verses? Matthew 12:34. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's not one of your verses you already know. You need to commit that to memory. Matthew 12:34. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We're talking today about how terrible the tongue is, and I wondered myself, why did God make us with a mouth? But it's not just our tongue. The source of what comes out of our mouth comes from where? What's really in the heart. The condition and state of our heart. So we can't just blame it on the tongue. All the tongue can be a wicked thing. But what comes, the wickedness comes from our hearts. Jack Scott says, what we say is an indicator of our true spiritual state. You know, we can say what is right some of the time, can't we? But it's not just some of the time. We've got to look at how our tongues operate all of the time. James 2 through 5, let me read that. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. I don't know of any perfect man. I don't guess we won't be perfect until the day we're glorified, until Jesus comes back to get us. If anybody does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his tongue. Can anybody absolutely bridle his tongue? No, but we can get more of a handle on it. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. James illustrates the power of small things by talking about bits in horses' mouths. How many of you ever really looked at a bridle? And so that bit is like what, Earlene?
Well, it keeps it's bad because you can guide by pulling on the reins.
Right.
And even pulling back on the reins.
Mm-hmm. It can control. If you don't have that bit in its mouth, if you ever look, that is a piece of metal, people, that's about that big around. And I'm just thinking the horse just must hate it when it's in there. But it controls him. It controls him. And what is our bit?
The Bible.
The Word of God is our bit. And our rudder that's in a ship. And you think it's a huge ship, but it's got this little small rudder. It is quite an accomplishment to bridle our tongues so that we bring them under the control of our hearts, to say only what the Lord has taught us to say. So this is something that we've got to have in our minds all the time. What is coming out of our mouth? Not just me to you, but you to your friends, your children, your grandchildren, your husband, your mother-in-law, if you still got one. And I wish I had my mother-in-law.
You had a great one.
Huh? I did. And lo and behold, when I was looking at my lesson this morning, I noticed Ephesians 4:29 I have down twice. So it's a great verse. I'm going to read it again. And be thinking about it. Be thinking about what unwholesome talk is. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. Now, let's name some examples of unwholesome talk.
Gossip.
Anger. Sometimes anger in the right place is in the right place.
Irritation.
All right, you're irritated, right. Lies, irritation, slander. You know what slander is? I looked it up in the dictionary. That's one thing you need when you're studying the Bible. You need a dictionary, a good regular dictionary, but you need a biblical dictionary too, but this came out of the regular dictionary. Slander is the utterance in the presence of another person of a false statement damaging to a third person's character or reputation.
doesn't have to be false.
No. Doesn't have to be false. All right.
Slander, though.
Yeah, I was thinking that slander is not really. Right. Slander is not slander. That's right. Slander sometimes, slander, you can, what you're saying is true, but you're spreading it around. It's damaging to that person's reputation or character.
So is that what politicians do?
They slander.
It's going on now, isn't it?
I think
another unwholesome talk is dirty jokes. I mean, saying them or enjoying listening to them. And we think, well, that's just for men, but that's not right. That's women do. Proverbs 15:12. Oh yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and look at Ephesians 4:29, unwholesome talk. But only what is helpful for building others up. Does that mean that we're only supposed to say, oh, I love you, you're so great? Is that just what it's talking about? Sometimes friends need to be corrected. Sometimes they're going in this direction and they need to be going back in that. So sometimes our helpful speech is not always easy, but it says helpful for building others up according to their needs. What do they need? They may need an encouraging word, but they also may need to be corrected or rebuked.
Yeah, not necessarily building up their ego, but building up their character.
Yes, so that it may benefit those who listen. So sometimes your words may not be easy, but necessary. Be of some good, constructive good to that person. All right, Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous ponders. Ponders means to think on, thinks about how to answer. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. And so a lot of times before you spew it out, you can think real quick, is this exactly what I say? I've caught myself, whoop, put the brakes on. That's going to do a lot of damage. That's going to do damage that can't be undone. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Y'all know that's not true. Words can stick with somebody forever. And so once it's come out, it's done. Encouragement is there, or the damage is done. And boy, does it take a lot of backpedaling and a lot of, I don't know if backpedaling is the right thing, but you know, and we're going to talk about children here in a minute. All right, verses 5 and 6. Let me get back to my scripture here. And so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. I mean, it makes you want to put some tape over your mouth, doesn't it? From what source does the tongue's tremendous power for evil come? Our heart. What's in our heart? Sin. Sin. That's the power. And I think sometimes we play it down. We don't think our hearts are that bad, do we? We can look at somebody else's heart and pick out all the... But our hearts, we just kind of skirt around it. We're not looking at our heart. I've got a little... And let's look at Satan just a minute. I'm not saying that Satan is all the reason, but how does the Bible describe Satan? An angel of light, I know that.
But he's a great deceiver.
He's a great deceiver. Walks around like a roaring lion, looking for opportunities in our lives. And who is Satan attacking? Believers. And what's he looking for? He's looking for a weak place. And you know what? He can almost always find it in our tongues, can't he? And that's really sad to think about. He looks for weak areas, and our tongues are perfect places for him to take control. I've got a road map here. It tells me to go back to this page here. When we, in verse 6 says about staining, let's see, tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. How can what we say pollute or stain ourselves or somebody else? Matthew 5, 10, 11, and 18 through 28, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand, what goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. But these things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. So, what comes out of our mouth, there well may be pollution. We not only stain in ourselves and our reputation and our character, but we stain others too. So it's not just a personal thing. I mean, it's far-reaching. Thinking about, how do you talk at home? I always remember when I was growing up, somebody said, the way you talk in your home is the way you really are. The way you talk to your family members is the way you really are. How do we talk at home to our families? All our guards are down, aren't they? We're not trying to impress anybody. Our guards are down. We get angry. We get impatient. We criticize. Well, we're really good at criticizing, are we not? I'm glad I got to teach this lesson because I'm telling you, I was just convicted by all this. Why is it important to have a God-controlled tongue in our homes? Well, one thing, we've got our children, our grandchildren right there, our husbands. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6. Anybody know what that is? This is another scripture that you need to know. It's part of Shema. I call it the Shema, but I think the correct pronunciation is Shema, isn't it? It's the Jewish basis for what they believe. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. And it said, you know, tie them on your head. And if you looked at, and I don't know, there may be some real Orthodox Jews that do it today. They have these little boxes called phylacteries, I think that, if I'm not pronouncing it right, somebody speak up. And what do they do with them? They got the law in it. And what do? They have it on this little thing and they tie it around their heads. Because that's what, if you kept on reading, it would say, tie it around your head. In other words, let it be on your mind every minute. And so we have great opportunities to be teachers with our neighbors, our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews. We are there having a God-controlled tongue. Does starting a quarrel solve a problem? Why do people quarrel?
Usually you want to be right.
Right. You want to have the last word. You want your 2 cents worth in there. If somebody else is quarreling, what are you going to do? You're going to jump right in, and it's just going to be back and forth. Does that ever solve anything? with your children or your husband or your friend or anybody, or the checkout lady at the grocery store or whoever. Quarreling does not ever solve anything. I had a verse and I don't know where it is. Okay. In verses 7 to 8, it talks about the uncontrolled tongue. Why is an uncontrolled tongue like a wild animal? Let me read that verse. Right. Every kind of beast and bird, the reptile and the sea creature can be tamed, but you can't tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Why is an uncontrolled tongue like a wild animal?
It can be used to attack others in their weak points.
Yeah.
A wild animal just take advantage of everything they see.
No rules. No boundaries. Nothing holding it back. And you know, when you think of this file, the tongue is like a file. You know what I thought of? A dragon. Spewing out all that fire. There's a ad on TV today. I don't know what it's for, but it's a dragon in the, I think he's got a cough or something, and he sneezes or something and burns up half the aisle. Have y'all seen that? But you know, that our words are like a fire. We don't want to think of our tongues as being like a fire that can burn everything down, but it can. It can hurt feelings. It can destroy family relationships. You just think of the worst thing, and the tongue is right in the middle. All right. Why is man unable to tame his tongue? J.B. Phillips says, the tongue is an evil, always liable to break out. You may be able to calm it down for a while, then before you know it, and you're not even thinking, it's jumped out again, the big fire. And the poison it spreads is deadly. If we cannot control what we say, who can help us? Philippians 2:15, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Let me read that again. Philippians 2:15, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. It is God, absolutely, that can help you control your tongue. And Psalm 141:3, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. So it is possible that your speech can be controlled if you continuously look into God, guard my lips, help me to ponder what I say. All right, in the last three verses there, 9 through 12, with it we bless our Lord, our tongue. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, this should not be like this. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is our consistency as a Christian believer. One day, one moment we're doing right, and the next minute we're not. He said it shouldn't be like this. And ultimately, who are we addressing when we both bless and curse? We're not just sinning against somebody that we lash out to in anger. We're not just sinning against them. Who else are we sinning against? God. Jesus said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. All right, I'll say this again. How our words give clues to our state of soul. How can we show spiritual maturity if we're on the receiving end of an uncontrolled tongue? We've all been in that condition, in that place. 1 Peter 2:23. When they hurled their insults at him, that's Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Are we entrusting ourselves to God to help us control this tongue? Like we said a while ago, why did he give us tongues? Well, he wants us to use these tongues for his glory, to encourage and to befriend and to comfort and to correct and rebuke sometimes. That's what he gave us the tongues for. And so we're supposed to be continuously asking him to guide us when we speak. There are a couple of verses that I wanted us to look at that's in this chapter. I know if you looked them up, good, but I how much time have I got?
About
an hour. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't even own your body. Who owns your body? Who made you? God. He owns your body. He made us. We're just stewards of our mouths and our hands and our feet and our everything. Okay? Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Alright? Honor God with your body. I don't know. There's just so much sensuous speech. How dull have our minds become toward this area? What about decency and purity? Hearing the name of God, even if you casually say, "Oh God," is that wrong? That's wrong, people. Only use God in a holy and reverent manner. But you know, we all fail on that. And putting up with people who say things like that, you know, and that's a hard thing to do, is when you hear somebody telling a joke or using God's name in the wrong. Don't take God's name in vain. That means using it in a casual way. Do we step up and say anything, or do we just kind of sit there and think, "Well, I hope they get through with this, and then we get on"? You know. Well, I think we're called to step up, speak up.
What an interesting thought it is. There's never been any other quote deity who's ever been used in the Bible, like old Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say by Jove.
What is that?
By Jove.
What is that?
Jove was the God, the Greek God.
Really?
Okay,
well,
I
missed that.
Well, anyway, I just think that, you know, this is there's so much to learn about the tongue. And, I mean, I wanted to tell Fred Allen, get on the Internet and go on the Google thing and see how many times the Bible talks about speech and tongue. And I bet it is hundreds all through the Bible. And that's how important it is to God. For us, we can't just work on our tongues ourselves. We got to have His help, His guidance. We got to go to Him first and get the power to control our tongue. And so I think that's it. Oh, I want to say this. I read this in one of my things. I encourage you to pay attention to somebody else's child besides your own or your grandchildren. Say something encouraging to someone you don't ordinarily talk to. Or maybe a young person, or it could be a young adult in this church. I encourage you to get to know them. Say something encouraging to children. Sometimes children, we say, we're going to let their mama and daddy. But I mean to say something encouraging to somebody you don't know, and to form a relationship or with somebody and to be able to encourage them, that means a lot to a child.
You don't have to do it many times and they start looking to see what you're doing.
It could be you pass them in the hall. Mm-hmm. You know, just that. Doesn't have to be, got to sit them down and talk to them. But I encourage you to do that. to somebody that doesn't belong to you. I'm through.